right, we gotta do something about that music. Sports fans, hello. Good morning. Welcome to Habs Beyond Sports, episode 309. It's November 11th. It's Remembrance Day. It's Veterans Day. Govern yourself accordingly, and please stop to remember those who fought for our democracy and freedom. I'm Mark Hebscher, along with Toronto Mike. This is the Habs Beyond Sports podcast. This is our 309th episode. And today, as usual, you're going to get your dose of... What are you talking about, you idiot? You're going to get your fill of Maple Leafs, Raptors, Blue Jays. By the way, should they trade Bo Bichette? Not move him to second base. Just trade him. And who should they go after in free agency? Lots of free agent shortstops. Ooh, baby. Talk about my recent golf adventures, including a... I guess we could say a sneak peek, although you're not going to see anything. I'll tell you some stories about the course that's going to host the 2023 Canadian Open, Oakdale. I played it the other day. Under cover of night. We'll celebrate the anniversary of the greatest hockey fight I ever witnessed live. The classic Felix Pot fan Ron Hextall punch up in Philadelphia. Not only was I there, I had to be a human shield for Pot fan, or he would have gotten hit with various debris. He could have been seriously injured had I not been as tall as I am. Mike, I'm very sore today. My body is sore today.
What happened, Hebsy?
It's aching because yesterday was the last nice golf day of the season here in Southern Ontario. It was gorgeous. I played Crosswinds yesterday afternoon, walked the course while carrying my bag of 14 clubs and several balls, most of which I found on the golf course. So you know, it's about 9 miles I ended up walking yesterday and woke up this morning. My neck was sore and my back was sore and my muscles are tight. So if I make some odd looking moves, you know, herky jerky moves, don't think that, he's got a condition.
Okay, but I want to know why you speak in miles. Like, why is it natural for you to say I walked 9 miles? Because... guys my age, we don't know exactly what the heck you're... We kind of have an idea, but not really.
Well, I think you do. I think that's bullshit, okay? I don't know what a mile is, okay?
Well, I don't quickly have a number of kilometers.
What's the song? What's that? I can see 4 kilometers and kilometers. Or how about, I would walk 742 kilometers. No, it's miles.
Well, it doesn't rhyme
miles
with anything.
Miles to go before I sleep. So you can metricize everything that you want to, okay? But the mile is not going to go away, Mike. It's not going to go away.
Okay.
9 miles. So do me a favor. Figure it out.
I have to Google it. 9 miles. Excuse me.
Figure it out. How about this, Mike? About 20,000 steps. Does that work for you?
Not really. I admit, I like kilometers.
How long my stride is. Right? Is it a 43.7 centimeter stride?
I need to see your gait.
The analytics. All that stuff. Okay.
All right. Just curious why you were doing miles there. Just curious.
Because that's how far it is. So if someone says to me, you know, when you go walk the golf course, how far is that? I'll go, well, let's see. This hole is 455 yards. And then and the golf course is 7,000 yards. No one says, well, the golf course is, you know, 0.72 kilometers. So.
Okay. Can I ask a quick question?
No.
You were raised with miles, right? Like at what point did kilometers enter the
I don't
schooling?
Remember.
You don't know.
That's like asking me when. That's like asking me when I didn't have to use the centerpiece of the 45
okay.
to play an entire record.
But I'm saying the 50-year-olds on your YouTube were raised with kilometers.
Why do you make everything about age?
No, that's actually like what it's about, because it's when you got taught about the metric system. Okay, carry on. Miles, it's Habsy on Sports. Miles is A-OK. Go ahead.
Right. Have you figured out how many kilometers it is just for your own, you know, how far I went yesterday? I went I walked 9 miles.
Hold on. 9 miles in KM is 14. Okay, so if you said I walked 14K, I would know exactly because, you know, I measure all these bike rides and stuff. So 14 kilometers.
Do we still measure time the same way, you and I?
Is there a metric for time? No, I think we're okay with time.
Anyway, so I'm sore, for God's sakes. I'm hurting today, right? And there's drugs involved. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Are they good drugs?
I took a couple of Quaaludes.
Whoa. So
I'm a bit high.
They still sell those?
Sell. What are you talking about? You got to know the right people. Right. Yeah, so I'm a bit sore. So anyway, where was I? Big weekend, Mike. Big weekend for sports here.
Okay.
In the city of Toronto, it's Hall of Fame weekend in Toronto as the Leafs will play rare back-to-back home games tonight, Friday, and tomorrow, Saturday, because it's the Hall of Fame weekend and Borja Salming is in town. Okay, Borja is going to be honored tonight and tomorrow. Wow. There will not be a dry eye in the house. I guarantee it. Leafs get the Penguins tonight. And coming off that OT loss to Vegas the other night, now they get Pittsburgh. And as much as I want to give Eric Schalgren the benefit of the doubt and think that he could be an NHL goalie. He's shown certain flashes of brilliance. It's also time to see what Matt Murray can do. So it looks like Schalgren tonight and Murray for tomorrow night against Vancouver, a team that's completely turned itself around after a terrible start. They were ready to hang Bruce Boudreau. Fans were thinking of jumping out of second-story windows.
Second-story windows.
Well, it's true.
Because you could break an ankle.
Any Vancouverite, they're the same as Toronto. Listen, they're the same as Leaf fans. You know, they panic, as most fans do, when the team gets off to a terrible start. And,
well, they are the same as...
Exactly the same.
But they're the same because neither of us have won a cup since I was born. So
it has a lot to do with it. You're darn right. At least we don't riot when our team gets beat in the first round.
Right.
You know, riot.
We got other things going on. Right. We got other things going on.
It's not our style. So Borja Salming's in town, all right? So I think I mentioned to you before, Borja and I had a pretty good relationship. You know, I reporter covering the team. You know, he's a few years older than me, but we got along really well. And I spent a lot of time on the road, you know, covering the Leafs. And let me tell you, when you're on the road and you know, there's a lot of downtime. There's a lot of time you can get into trouble and a lot of time you could, you know, just talk and spend time with people. Got to know Borja pretty well. So he's in town this weekend and he's in a wheelchair, man. He's got ALS, advanced stages. He can't speak. And they're going to honor him, you know, and, you know, part of me is like, oh, geez, in Toronto, when they honor, sometimes it's cringy and, you know, compared to Montreal, for example,
sure.
You know, who they know how to put on a show,
yeah,
right? When they're on, not so much in here. It's a little, you know, I don't know whose fault that is, but with Borja, oh man, it's going to be like hard. It's going to be hard to see him in a wheelchair, unable to speak. You know, saluting a crowd, you know, and he's a Hall of Famer during Hall of Fame weekend. Just, man, it's going to be, you know, I'm just welling up thinking about it too.
Horrible disease, Hebsy. Horrible disease.
I've not experienced it and I have no one in my family that has, thank goodness, but the stories I've heard are harrowing. Anyway, so he's in town, and man, I'm telling you right now, they're gonna—I guarantee you—there's gonna be a fantastic video tribute. If you've never seen, you know, going to YouTube, if you've never seen Borja Salming in his prime when he first got here, you're gonna be amazed. We have not had a defenseman anywhere close to, you know, to what Salming could do. Lift people out of their seats. Lift people out of their seats, going, "Oh my god! Oh my god!" Did you just see that? I'm talking 1974, 75, 76, 77. Yeah. Anyway, the king. They called him the king for more than one reason. Let me tell you. For more than one reason. Okay? That's a story in of itself. This whole Hall of Fame thing, Mike, it, to me, becomes a real flashpoint for sports fans. And it's a beautiful thing for sports talk radio. It's okay. But I'm disappointed in the fact that leagues are now trying to get fans engaged into whether this person is worthy of the Hall of Fame or not worthy of the Hall of Fame. Worthy of the blah, blah, blah award as Canada's greatest athlete. And by the way, when is that announcement coming? It's the 11th of November. Do we get an announcement because the year is coming to an end as to what this award is going to be called? Right?
That, right.
And who are the finalists and who's in the running for this award? Like, aren't we supposed to think about that around this time of the year? So I'm getting a little bit disappointed that they haven't come out with their announcement.
Hebsy, do you think it has anything to do with the fact that the two owners of the Toronto Star are currently in litigation to decide who owns that paper because they said they cannot work together?
Yeah. I guess.
Like
I guess
everything's so. Paused. I had
not
Keenan
that
here. Yeah.
I guess it's not that important, right? Maybe they skip a year. Maybe they just say, you know what? We haven't decided. There's no award this year. There will be no award given out for 2022. Not that one person isn't deserving all above the others. It's just that we just don't have the energy or the time or the inclination. You know, there's other shit going on. Let Canadian Press hand out their Lionel Conacher Award and Bobby Rosenfeld Award. And that'll be that. And we'll just take a pass on this one. And then in 2023, we'll come up with, when we get the time and the inclination, the name, if we even come up with one.
Maybe I'm okay with that.
Maybe we just shut the whole thing down and say, you know what? It was a good run. That's it. And 100 years from now, we're going, how come they don't give out the fuck award anymore? You're going to go, oh, yeah, that guy. Oh, yeah. Whew. You know, part of history, maybe they just want to bury it and forget about it.
Hey, if there is an award, who do you think is the front runner to win this award?
I haven't even thought about it. It's not something I don't know about you, Mike, but unless somebody gives me that, unless, you know, the award is coming up, and by the way, nominations, unless that,
right,
you know, is triggered every year in the newspaper, I don't think about it.
Now, this is this was an Olympic year. I know people forget, but I'm pretty sure we had an Olympics earlier this year. That would be, you typically, it's like somebody who had a great Olympics might be a front runner, but because there is no Bianca or there's no Mike Weir here. So I'm just trying to think out loud who it could be. But I'll think on it while you keep entertaining the troops here. Although you've disappeared, so I'll keep talking about this. But I'm sure if there was a standout Olympian, I got to think back to February there. They would be a front runner. For whatever they're calling this award.
You have to think about it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
That's the thing. No one event or one athlete stood out.
When Canada wins the World Cup, it'll be Alphonso Davies. Write
that
down.
Maybe the goalie.
I'm calling it. This is called prediction time. My crystal ball sees Alphonso Davies leading this team deep into the World Cup and then winning the whatever they call this trophy.
You're nuts.
Yes.
You're out of your mind,
I'm
right?
Dreaming in Technicolor.
You're out of your mind, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If we score a goal, I'll be happy.
Oh, we're going to score a goal.
Against who?
Against Morocco.
Ah, Morocco. Picking on Morocco. It's good. I think it's some good players from Morocco. Anyway, it'll be interesting. I'm still not convinced that. And even Sepp Blatter, the head of the former head of FIFA, said, you know, listen, we made a mistake. We should have never given it to Qatar. Never. Should have never gone to that country. And there's going to be a lot of people there that are going to be very uncomfortable despite what they say. But let's see. It's very exciting.
Morocco. I'll be watching.
Wait, who we got? We got Belgium first.
Belgium, right? Croatia.
That's an L,
Morocco.
Right there. That's an L. That's.
Well, then Belgium's an L.
Got to play the matches. And I tell you this right now, Herdman's squad is going to be very sound defensively. They are. They're just going to come up against some nations that they forget about your friendlies and all that. They're going to be coming up against some national teams that are really good. That's all I'm saying. Now, let's get back to this NHL thing because I'm pissed at the NHL because this is what they did. This is Hall of Fame week, right? So you got your inductees. You've got the Sedin twins. You got Daniel Alfredson. You got Bobby Lou, Stromboni. What's his name? Roberto Luongo. He's awesome. You got Herb Carnegie, finally, and Riikka Salonen, a great Finnish women's player and coach. So, so instead of celebrating, the NHL, right? They tweet a picture of Jason Spezza. And it reads, this is the NHL tweeting this out. Is Jason Spezza Hall of Famer? And underneath, it's got 1,248 games played, 995 career points. So this is the NHL tweeting this out. Like, let's start a little as to who should be and who shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, get some engagement.
That's bullshit. Like, if I'm Pierre Turgeon, I'm like, what the fuck? I had 1,400 points. I'm not in the Hall of Fame. In fact, I'll recite this, man, because Jeff O'Neill, the guy's on Overdrive on TSN 1050. By the way, Mark Rowe doing a really good job this week filling in for Brian Hayes. Noodles McLennan's great. I've mentioned this for years now, Mike. I have 3-4 years. My favorite show on radio, absolutely. And O'Neill says, he says, yeah, you know what? He said, I'm not sure that Mark Recchi deserves to be in the Hall of Fame ahead of like a guy like Pierre Turgeon. I'm like, you know what? This is the first time that I've really heard players go, that player doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. That's something I've never said. I can never say that. Like, to me, to me, you know, Bernie Federico, for example, you might think he doesn't deserve it. Listen, it's not for me to say he didn't deserve to go in. I would never say he shouldn't be in, like take him out of the Hall of Fame, unless he did something horrible. But in this case here, to hear a player, a former player go, I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame, or certainly he shouldn't, Mark Recchi shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame before Pierre Turgeon, before Jeremy Roenick, before Paul Henderson, right? And now you, so the NHL is feeding into this. Just, you know, this is stupid to me. Yeah, but Jason Spezza? I mean, of course the answer is no. Of course it's no. Why would the NHL even bring this up? Right? But well, to post it and say yes or no, Hall of Famer? Right. I don't like that.
Well, Hebsy, social media is all about engagements, and that's just meant to rile up the Hebsies of the world.
Come on.
It worked. Look at you talking about it on Hebsy on Sports.
You're right. No, you got me there. There you go.
Oh, Scott Mayo says
this weekend, and that game against Vegas the other night was like, you know, that was just, you know, what a play by Mitch Marner. Oh, what a terrible play by Mitch Marner. Poor guy.
Quick note that Scott on your YouTube channel says that Alexander McGillney should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm just throwing it out there. That's about engagement too. You have engagement on your YouTube channel, so yeah. And Brian says that Pierre Turgeon isn't even close to a Hall of Famer. Says him.
You see what I started?
Yeah. Well, the NHL started that.
Okay. Of course, like I say, great for the talk shows. You can go back and forth. Deserves to be, doesn't deserve to be, shouldn't right. be, you know, guy got it. In every sport. Always a great debate. Okay. In baseball, the floodgates have opened, and it's going to be a busy offseason as tons of free agents are about to hit the open market. Right now, it's what's known as quiet time, Mike. It's quiet time in free agency. That means you can only sign, if you're a free agent, you can only sign with your current team if you're a free agent. You can't be accepting other offers. You got to wait. So the Blue Jays had Ross Stripling as a free agent. They did not offer him a qualifying offer. The qualifying offer would have had to be over $19 million just for this season coming up. Right?
Right.
So they're like, no. $14 million, okay. He might not have accepted it. But they figure $14 million, which is they figure he'll get in free agency. He may have 2 years, $28 million for a 32-year-old pitcher that had a good season. So $19 million now. So they didn't give him a qualifying offer there. So they're going to be here. The Jays are looking at tons of free agents. There's all kinds of shortstops I've mentioned before. There's all the great shortstops: Correa, Bogarts, Trey Turner. So they're looking for a shortstop. There's no way Bo Bichette is the starting shortstop for the team next year. I don't care what you say. Wow. He can improve, can go to the freaking Venezuelan league, the Dominican league for the whole winter and work on his game, which, if he wants to be a shortstop, might not be a bad idea. You're going to move him to second base? Really? Because you got Espinal. You still got Merrifield, who I think you should, it's a slam dunk. I mean, he can play second base. And you got Kevin Biggio. You're going to have that left-handed bat. So, is there room for Bo? What are you going to move? So why don't you trade Bo? And why don't you trade one of your three catchers? Okay? You don't think there's teams out there that are hollishing to get Danny Jansen? And Bo? Yeah, for sure. I mean, Bo can play. He can hit. He can hit. He's not the defender the Jays need to have at shortstop if you want to have a solid defensive team, right? So this is where Rogers is like, okay, how much can we spend? Because every year they're dipping their toe in the free agent market. Springer, right? Ryu.
Right.
Right? Let's go. So they're going to spend. How much? Well, here's the other thing, Mike. All these renovations to Rogers Center, mm-hmm. Like I say lipstick on a pig, because to me, it'll never be like a real true baseball stadium. It's great. Yep. Inside when it's filled with 45,000 people, it's magic. It's fantastic. No doubt. But just doesn't do it.
And on rainy days, cold days, it's like, oh, I'm glad I'm inside this Rogers Center.
Yeah. On cold days, wimps. Yeah,
these games go 4 hours.
If you spend enough time at Exhibition Stadium or freaking Candlestick Park, for all I care, all right, you tough it up. You don't want to go, don't go. All right, but climate controlled. Yeah, there's something about a real baseball park, not a multi-purpose stadium. We're going to try to put this, make this into a baseball park. I'm interested to see. But anyway, with all the money they're spending there, how much are tickets going to be? What do you think they're going to bump up the ticket price? We got a championship team. We were in the playoffs. Okay, playoff team. Look at who we got. Look at these players. Look at all this money we're going to spend. Because eventually we're going to have to sign all these guys. If we've got enough money to sign Vladdy and Bo at basically the same time, Bo's a year behind him. Right? And how attractive are these players? And who are we keeping? If I give you a list of five guys, well, which ones are we keeping? Which ones are going? Is Teoscar staying? Is Teoscar going? What about Lourdes? Is he ready to go? And so you've got all these pieces. We got three catchers. What if we grab another catcher in free agency? Now you got four catchers. Now you can make deals for starting pitching. It's going to be very exciting. And they'll spend, but I'm going to tell you this right now. It's going to be very expensive for Blue Jay fans. It's going to be very expensive down the road. And you're going to pay in price of tickets. It's going to happen.
But we already know Jays fans won't pay for a mediocre team, so they're gonna have to win if they want fans to pay.
Yep. So the question is, that lineup that you had, you know, if you had a few, are you telling me if you had a few relief pitchers, are you now you're good to go? You're a championship team, you know?
Right.
Or now, no, we need to address a few other areas.
Now, I heard you say let's trade a catcher with Bo, and you have, as Brian reminds us, you have predicted that Alejandro Kirk is going to be a batting champ, and Wayne Brown says he wants to keep Kirk too. So let's keep Kirk, okay?
Oh, yeah, we're keeping Kirk.
Okay.
Kirk's your number one guy. Okay. He's proven, listen, he's a young catcher too. This is the problem. If Jansen goes, you're now going with two young catchers, right? There is a, you know, sophomore slump type of a thing. It happens. Kirk went into a slump during the course of the season. He was hitting the hell out of the ball, and then something happens. So are you going with two young catchers now? This is your thing, Moreno and Kirk. That's a bit of a risk if you're a championship team. You're two young catchers. You really do need to have, you know, Danny Jansen. You need that veteran catcher. Right. Or you go and get a catcher in free agency. Like I had said before, Christian Vasquez is on the open market. You see, the problem is that you can't go light in one area. You can't say, we'll be okay there. You want to be a championship team. You got to be strong up the middle. You got to have catching. You got to have shortstop in second. You got to have center field. You have to. And so you take a risk if it's just Kirk and Moreno. Two reasons. One is total experience, not a lot. Two is conditioning. You never know. Any injury to either guy, what do you have in the system? You're going to go get a Luke Maley type of a guy? You're going to go back and get, who was the guy they had last year, the left-handed hitting catcher? I can't even remember his name. Filled in for a while. Right? They come and go. You got to have solid catching. So that's the risk you take. That'll be interesting to see. And you see what type of offers they get as well. We don't know. His phone, Ross Atkins' phone, could be ringing off the hook, right? Every team needs catching. Every team.
Yes.
So nice to have those commodities. What would you do, Mike? Team control is another thing. You don't have much team control with Jansen. He's coming up sooner than the other guys.
So who's this big fish you're fishing for? Like if you say, okay, Bo's going to move, we're going to move a catcher, maybe there's another piece. Who's the big fish you're fishing for?
Well, Trey Turner, I would say, would be your guy, man. You know? He can hit for average, hit for power, great base stealer, good shortstop, good range, good arm. All right, Bogarts, you know about him from Boston.
Sure.
Carlos Correa might be the most expensive of them all, but geez. He's fantastic, right? You're talking about amongst the elite shortstops. Who are the other ones? I can't even think now. There's a number of really talented players out there.
Okay, and there's that, of course. Every investor knows you want to buy low, sell high, and Craig Miller thinks that Kirk is your trade piece. Like he says, stay with, Kirk. He says, I'm looking here. Yeah, he says, Moreno and Jansen, he's good with that. You have Kirk as a trade piece. And there's some news about Kirk this week, right? You've got
He won the Silver Slugger Award, which to me, congrats to him. But these awards don't mean anything. I've explained this before. I don't care. You don't win championships. It doesn't mean it's great. It's nice. How the voting goes and that type of thing. We all know that's a lot of it's bullshit because Matt Chapman should have won the Gold Glove at third. And I know it's different voting and all that, but I don't know. It's nice on the resume. It is. And certainly, you know, it's a nice little chip to have saying, hey, listen, we'll give you the, current American League Silver Slugger at catcher. He's yours, 23, 24 years old. And what teams are you dealing with? You're dealing with teams that are looking to get rid of starting pitching or looking to get rid of big contracts. You find a guy that's the right age and maybe there's 2 years and you can afford him. And you go, this is the piece we need to help us win a championship. And that piece, where's your Paul Molitor? Where's your Dave Winfield? You know what I mean? Where's your Ricky Henderson? It's very exciting. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great. They're going to spend, but I'm telling you, tickets are going to be expensive in the new Rogers Center. Once this, remember 2 years, this year is going to look different. And then after the 2023 season, it's going to be completed. Every seat is going to face home plate. Mike, huh?
Finally.
Yeah. Going to cost a lot. The Raptors are in action tonight in OKC against the Thunder. And the Canadian from Hamilton, Ontario, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. This kid is great. NBA player, NBA fans know this. Mm-hmm. But he's averaging 31 points a game for the Thunder. And certainly one of the most exciting young players in the game. And man, just dreaming of Canada's national team being able to play, in the Olympics. What a squad if everybody went to play. This guy's great. Unfortunately, his team sucks. They've lost four in a row, and that's why the Raptors are a 5-point favorite tonight, despite the fact that Pascal Siakam is out, for, I don't know, hopefully not too long, with an abductor injury, like in that groin, lower stomach, groin area there, abductors in there. And also now we find out that Precious Achiuwa is out indefinitely with an ankle injury this is the thing too. When you got size 18 feet and you're playing against five other guys that have size, 14 to 20 feet, and you land, grab a rebound and you're, when your foot, one foot hits the floor, it hits, lands on one of these other big guys' feet and you twist your ankle or whatever. Oh God. So he's out indefinitely. No worries, though. We got some good depth. Interesting to see the rest of the squad. And they play a very tough defensive game under Nick Nurse. Should win this one. 5-point favorites. And by the way, I love it when Scotty Barnes plays the point. Nothing against Fred VanVleet. But, Scotty Barnes could be an awesome point guard. He could be, he could help revolutionize the point guard position. I'm just saying, the way he could take it to the hoop and dunk and play the point, and really good, I think an underrated ball handler too. He's got some moves. He's so young, and he's on every commercial now. you thought you saw a lot of George Springer during baseball season on commercials? Man, you've not seen anything. Scotty Barnes is the man. Forget about PBJ with Pascal and Fred VanVleet. That was a nice little campaign. But Scotty, Subway Scotty, and what's the other one he's doing? Google Pixel. Man, he's the guy. I love it. More NBA. Now, Commissioner Adam Silver, who is Jewish, I think I should point that out, told the New York Times that he had a direct and candid conversation with Kyrie Irving on Thursday. Quote, he's someone I've known for a decade, and I've never heard an anti-Semitic word from him or, frankly, hate directed at any group, said Silver. He added, whether or not he is anti-Semitic is not relevant to the damage caused by the posting of hateful content. In addition to the suspension, Brooklyn outlined a list of 6 requirements he had to fulfill before rejoining the team. They included apologizing, condemning the film, making a $500,000 donation to anti-hate causes, and completing anti-Semitism training. By the way, I read that it's going to be in the curriculum, the Ontario curriculum for grade 6s, I think, Mike? Good. Holocaust and anti-Semitic. What's the word I'm thinking of? Jesus, I'm sorry. Part of the curriculum, learning about the Holocaust.
Now,
and
pardon my ignorance, but don't we already teach the Holocaust in primary?
I remember in grade seven seeing the film first time, and just
Well, we all read the Diary of Anne Frank.
That was grade seven, and it was. I don't remember if it was, it might have been part of one particular class or, whatever.
Or maybe a teacher did it.
A series of classes, but I remember just being so horrified seeing corpses like being like thrown into ditches. And oh God, it was like horrifying. And at that moment, you're saying, like, this happens. This is, documented, right?
Right. See, my memories are, I remember we read the Diary of Anne Frank, and then we saw a play. Like, we saw a play about the Diary of Anne Frank, and that's sort of how they bring this, they introduce the subject to you in primary school. But I'm glad it's in the curriculum. We need to.
This is the film. Now, I was 12 or 13, so it's grade seven, and I remember, and like, this was during history class or whatever, and it was the film, and it was, it was black and white, obviously, and I don't remember the narration, and it wasn't propaganda. It was footage and
historical footage.
It was like this really happened. Like, this was unbelievable to me. Anyway. Adam Silver seems to think, that he's not an anti-Semite. And I don't think I ever, everyone said, you're an anti-Semite. It's just, it seems to me that you're, promoting this, and, that's not right. Right. To promote hate. Hateful content like that really is what it comes down to. And come on. And you didn't apologize. And then they asked you to, but you still didn't apologize. And then you did apologize and said, there's got to be more to that. Meanwhile, his former teammate, LeBron James, Irving's former teammate, said that while he did not believe in sharing, quote, hurtful information, Irving should be allowed to return to the court following his apology. Quote, help him learn, but he should be playing, James tweeted on Thursday. Now, if he serves his 5-game suspension, Irving would be available to play Sunday against the Lakers in Los Angeles. So how will the crowd react at the Staples Center, do you think?
I hope it's a chilly
forgiving
reception, so he sees there has to be,
forgiving.
You think so? Okay.
I hope so.
I'm glad he's getting educated.
I don't think people are out to like get him, like, kill him, I don't think people, initially it was like, throw him out of the game. And, there was even a fake tweet by the fake Adrian Wojnarowski, like what Musk did, with the blue check mark that said, Kyrie Irving has been released by the Brooklyn Nets. But it was a fake account.
Right.
But it had the blue check mark.
Right.
Said Adrian Wojnarowski.
A lot of people getting fooled right now on Twitter.
Oh, my God. Crazy. So anyway, there you go, Mr. Musk. Thanks for all that.
I'm glad that he's being educated, because clearly this comes from a place of ignorance. He needs to be educated.
Yeah. Okay. Former CNN sports anchor Fred Hickman died the other day at the age of 66. That's how old I am. Fred joins his longtime partner, Nick Charles, in heaven. For many years, Nick and Hick hosted CNN Sports Tonight. They were direct competitors, I guess, with me and Jim on Sportsline for years. They were on at 11:30, and so were we. They switched to 11 p.m. after a few years. At the time, I remember going, "Well, that's wow. I guess we showed them, right? Right?" Because TSN had done the same thing in the early years. I think the first year when Michael Landsberg and why can't I think of Brendan's last name? Oh, he's going to kill me now. When Landsberg and Brendan Connor, were on, they at first were on at 11:30 for the first maybe a couple months. I don't know. And then TSN quickly said, "Oh no, wait a second. Sportsline's kind of got some momentum here, and let's move it back to 11 p.m." But we used to tape that show, in house, and record the 11 p.m. version, and also they did one at 2 a.m. or 2:30 a.m.
Right.
as well for the late scores. But yeah, they were awesome, man. That was Fred Hickman, Nick Charles, Jim Huber, Vince Cellini, Van Earl Wright, Hannah Storm. Terry Chick, Bob LaBelle, John Fricky. There was just so many. Dan Patrick was on there for a while. Olbermann, I think, was on. No, Olbermann didn't do CNN Sports. But anyway, they were really good. Like, and they made our show better too, because we wanted to do stuff like they did, right? They, you know, they had they had really good chemistry.
My memories are watching both, so I definitely remember watching that CNN SI show or whatever they called it, Sports Tonight at 11, and then Jim Taddy and Mark Hebsher 11:30. Yeah, they were great, man. I think I read somewhere that Van Earl Wright is currently like a caddy. Like he works as he's a caddy for golfers, I heard somewhere.
Listen, the golf industry if you love golf, Mike, it's a great industry to be in. Like, you know, someday you might give up podcasting. You're going to go into cycling, something to do with cycling.
I'll be like a courier.
You love it. You love it.
A bike courier.
If you love golf and being part of golf, you know, pick a sport. But, you know, hockey lifers, they love hockey. You love hockey. You love being around hockey. Hockey players, hockey people. I get it. Van Earl Wright loves golf. Speaking of golf.
Yes.
Houston Open is the PGA Tour stop. Mackenzie Hughes and Taylor Pendrith are in the mix. They both shot 466s yesterday. It's early, but they're in the field. And there's other Canadians involved. Hadwin's in there. And Gligic is in there. But it's her first day. The ladies are playing the Pelican Championship in Tampa. They're just underway in the first round. Brooke Henderson and Maud Amy LeBlanc are in the field. I played Oakdale Golf and Country Club. Lucky enough to get invited to play there. My friend Izzy Markich is one of the teaching pros there. I wonder if is he the teaching pro? And Ian Krebin is the general manager there, good friend. And so I got a sneak peek at the course that they're building the grandstands there. Like you should see the size of these grandstands on this, you know, beautiful Stanley Thompson and Robbie Robinson course, gorgeous in the city of Toronto, right in the city around Jane and Wilson. Or like a hidden gem, but a private golf course, and they're going to host this Canadian Open, right? So the PGA has been through there, you know, when they first, you know, awarded it to Oakdale. You know, they come in with their surveyors and their people, and you got to move this, and you got to cut those trees down, and you know stuff like that, right? You got to do this, and we're going to use those holes, and since there's 27 holes there, they're using, you know, 4 holes from this. The Knutson, one, and this from the Hominick one, that one from the Thompson 9, and it's kind of mixing and matching to make it, you know, the best 18 holes for the pros to play. So it's a big, big deal. But to see these massive grandstands being put up in this beautiful park-like setting, Mike, is very, you know, the hammering away of, you know, steel, big girders. Anyway. So we played, it was wonderful. Me and Izzy played it, walked the course. I think that's why my back and my neck have been bothering me, because twice this week I carried my clubs and walked the course, 2 courses. And so it's caught up with me.
You needed Van Earl Wright.
He was good. He was good.
What a voice. Those
guys are good. Yeah. Affected. Yeah. Affected. You got to have, you know, that's the way you do highlights, because that's the way you did highlights. And that's another thing. By the way, shout out this week. Like I had mentioned Mark Rowe. Mike Johnson is doing such a good job on the TSN games. And as much as I love Ray Ferraro, and this is nothing against Ray. Ray's great. Mike Johnson is just as good. I'm going to say it. Cheryl Pounder is awesome on the panel. Great. I said that before. Really good. And right. I'm sorry. The more I watch the other panels on the Sportsnet, it's flip a coin. Who have we got tonight? In fact, last night, I'm watching the Calgary game, and Kyle Bukakis is the host, but he's on the desk. And I'm like, I don't remember seeing him on the desk. But this is the Calgary Sportsnet region, right?
Right.
And it just so happens that I can't watch the Ottawa game. That's blacked out. I can't watch I'm trying to think of the other game. 2 other games I couldn't watch, both blacked out, but I can watch Calgary and who did they play? Carolina, was it? I forget now. But Kyle Bukakis is growing a beard too, eh? And and he's the host, but sitting at the desk, not out in the field or talking to the players. You know, it's kind of something. Finally, before we go, yesterday was the 26th anniversary of the best hockey fight I ever witnessed live, right before my very eyes, featuring two goaltenders, and it was spectacular. I had a ringside seat, November 10th, 1996, at the brand new Core States Center in South Philadelphia, Philadelphia. The Core States Center, that's what it was called when it first opened for that season, 1996-97, the Core States Center. Then they changed the name of it to the First Union Center, and then the Wachovia Center, and is now known as, and hopefully forever, as the Wells Fargo Arena, but I wouldn't count on it. Anyway, I digress. The Maple Leafs have been playing lackluster hockey under their new head coach, Mike Murphy. You may recall the year before, Pat Burns was let go. Nick Beverley took over. The team made the playoffs, but were ousted in the first round by the St. Louis Blues. Nick Beverley was not asked to come back. And Mike Murphy was the new coach. He had been an assistant with the Leafs. And so, in his first season, the Leafs are a lackluster team. Nothing special. They got all the old guys, right? All the old players. Gilmore, Clark, Sundin, Dave Ellett, Jamie McCallum, Larry Murphy, Kirk Muller, Matthew Schneider, tough guys like Ty Domi, Nick Kiprios, Ken Baumgartner, and of course, Felix Potvin in goal. Right? Do you remember the backup goalie to Felix Potvin that year?
Poopa? I don't know.
Don Beaupre.
Beaupre, right. Right.
Okay. Who lasted, I think, like, no, I don't think, I know, three games. Felix played more games that year than any other NHL goalie. He played 74 games.
Wow, okay. That'll never happen again.
I'm telling you right now, he was 110 pounds by the time the season was over. Now, I mean it, man. He saw so much rubber. That was not a good team, okay? That was a lackluster team. Murphy, I'm not going to say he wasn't a good coach, but that wasn't the right fit. That team, Mike Murphy coaching that as a rookie coach, well, not a rookie, he had coached years earlier with the Kings for a little while. But that, you know, when you're coaching guys that you were an assistant coach for before, and I don't know. But anyway,
yeah,
I digress again. I was doing color commentary on the radio broadcast with Joe Bowen, and we traveled with the team. We were embedded with the team. Part of the deal was, because we were the rights holders, the radio, was, you know, you traveled with and took advantage of all of that, and that way you could didn't have to fly commercial and stuff like that. So that was good. But no one ever said to me, look, you can't be critical of the Leafs. It wasn't a good idea to be critical of them. Or if you were going to be, you'd better, you know, be, you know, careful. Don't bite the hand that feeds you, so to speak. But anyway, so on this team, Don Beaupre was the backup. And Mike Murphy was afraid to play Don Beaupre. He was afraid. He didn't like him. And later he was afraid to play Marcel Cousineau after Beaupre got let go. So Potvin's playing every night, every night, every night. And he and I would talk every so often. Very quiet guy. Very nice guy. Very aware of what was going on in your life. You know, surprisingly so. You know, he took an interest. You know, how's your father doing? You know, how's your mother doing? That kind of a thing. How's the babies? Because I had, you know, little kids. And me with him, that kind of thing. And he was really into auto racing. He loved F1, loved to talk F1. But most people thought he was just a quiet, shy, didn't speak great English, you know, didn't offer too much about himself. And certainly they didn't think he was a tough guy. Quite the opposite.
Yeah.
Anyway, during this season, you and I talking, and we were going into Philadelphia, and he says to me, he says, this Hextall. He says, I said to him, you know, what would you do if, he says, if I ever had a chance, like I would pop him, right? You know, I'd love to get a crack at this guy. Because Hextall was just the scourge of the league, right? He was hitting guys with his stick and slashing Chris Chelios. I mean, he was notorious. He was nuts. There has not been a goalie before or since that attacks players the way he attacked players. He would leave his crease to go after, you know, he was nuts, out of his mind. As a goaltender. And so the other goalie, the goalies union, they didn't like this shit. Well, you know, now they got to fight. They don't want to fight. Goalies don't want to fight. And so, but Potvin was like, this guy's pissing me off. And so that night, the Leafs are losing, and there had been fights and whatever, and just before the end of the game with like 15 seconds to go or whatever, there was a call that went against the Leafs, and Murphy's going nuts, and from the bench, okay, Dave Ellett grabs a full water bottle, and I can't remember the referee now. Might have been Carey Fraser. And he throws the water bottle like all the way across the ice, and he hits the official, Bill McCreary, anyway, like in the skate. And the official like turns around because he was going to the penalty, turns around and looks at the bench, and like Ellen is like hiding behind the rest of the bench, right? And I, there was a misconduct, a bench, whatever the hell went on. It was nuts. And so now the last few seconds tick down. Leafs are going to lose 3-1. And like with 2 seconds to go, I think it was Wendell Clark that gets the puck, and he just goes to fire it down the ice to fire it, you know, and he hits one of the players or something, and there's a fight, and now there's a scrap. The game is over, and there's a scrap 15 feet in front of Felix Potvin between Wendell Clark and I forget the Philadelphia player. And here comes Hextall, and he goes the length of the ice, right? And I'm sitting with Joe Bowen. And anyway, here's the call.
At Murphy, and Potvin breaks the stick on Lacroix. Clark's got Lacroix down. He's got a couple of lefts going at him. As in comes Hextall to grab Potvin. Now Potvin and Hextall are fighting. Off comes Potvin's helmet. Hextall throwing punches at Potvin. Felix throwing an uppercut, lands on Hextall right on the button. They're railing away at one another.
Oh!
Hextall sweaters off. That's a fine. Here's another throwing punch. Hextall with an uppercut. Felix throwing right and left. The pileup is underneath, but the main event is the goaltender.
Oh, Felix is popping him.
He is throwing a bunch of punches at Hextall. He's got him dragged over the top. Murphy doesn't want to break it up because he'd be the third man in.
Well,
but he's talking to the referee here. But I'll tell you what, Felix Potvin wins this one hands down.
How about that?
Wow, I love your, oh, like it's just, it's like I'm there, man. That was great.
I have to explain something to you. In, you know, old school or not, and Joe was part of this, the play-by-play guy, he speaks, and when he stops speaking, then the color guy can jump in, type of, right?
Right.
Nowadays, of course, it's, you know, while the play is going on, the color guy is finishing a story. But old school was play-by-play guy calls the play. Right? When the play is stopped, then color guy can speak. And so in the midst of this fight, and the two, you have to picture this, the two of us are, and there's four broadcast crews, and we're all next to each other, right?
Yeah.
There's Jim Jackson and Steve Coates are doing the Flyers right next to us. Were they doing radio or TV? I can't remember. There's another crew next to them, I guess would have been the other radio crew, whatever, for Philly. And next to us on the other side is, I think, Jigs McDonald and Harry Neal. I think it was Jigs that night.
Wow.
Well, I got to find out, was it Jigsy that night? Anyway, and they're next to us. And Jigs is, I mean, you know, what's going on? You know, oh my, what is this? And Harry's like, well, popping, you know. And Joe is like here going, down goes Fraser. Like it was, you heard, it was crazy.
Amazing.
So I went back because, like, you know, part of my memory is like, because I remember it was, Potvin, I said, he says, just, you know, something could happen, like that kind of a thing. And remember, this team had Kiprios, who was a shit disturber, Baumgartner,
right?
And the greatest of them all, Domi, right? Huge shit disturber. And they had guys like Scott Daniels, who was a motherfucker, and Daniel Lacroix was a big motherfucker. And, you know, I'm looking at the rosters too. So we had, listen to this. So here's in alphabetical order. This is my cousin. This was the Leafs of this year. Jamie Baker, Sergei Berezin, Wendell Clark, Mike Craig, Ty Domi, Dave Ellett, Doug Gilmore, Darby Hendrickson, Nick Kiprios, Jamie McCown, Matt Martin, Frederick Modine, Kirk Muller, Larry Murphy, Matthew Schneider, Matt Sundin, Todd Warner, Dmitry Yuskevich, Felix Potvin. I guess Baumgartner didn't play that night. But anyway,
wow.
So I'm looking at this first period, okay? At the 8:48 mark, Scott Daniels and Nick Kiprios get into a fight. Nick Kiprios gets a 10-minute misconduct for attempt to injure. attempt to injure first period of the game. So that starts things off, right? And then there's more fighting, and then Domi gets into a fight. Hextall, Potvin, Lacroix, Clark, it gets an instigator, all this, just wild. But anyway, so let me get back to what's going on here. So I said to Felix before that, I said, did you ever fight before? Right? This was before the Hextall fight. When we're talking, he says he fought once in Chicoutimi. He says he won the fight. Right? And I am like, oh, that's, he says, yeah. He said he switched to lefty.
Okay.
Right? And the guy didn't know what was coming. So I said, like, did you ever take boxing lessons? He was like, no, I didn't take boxing lessons. Never took any formal boxing lessons. But, you know, I guess it just happened. He watched other guys are running. So that night, you know, that clip that you heard, Potvin had switched to lefty. And absolutely, the punch that bled, like that cut Hextall open above the eye, which was a nasty gash, was a right hand. But he set it up with the left.
Yes.
Right? He set it up with the left, and he completely, like, surprised everybody, like, everybody. And you heard Joe. It was Frazier Ali. It was nuts.
Wow.
So anyway, in the aftermath, now the game's over, and the fans are freaking booing, and they're screaming, Potvin sucks. Potvin, you beat your wife. Potvin sucks. Potvin, you beat your wife. And, like, everyone's like, what the fuck? And I know what this is all about. This is a New York Rangers chant against Denny Potvin of the Islanders, who had gotten into some, like, had wiped out a Ranger player years earlier, and they never forgave him, and also had had some domestic issues, which Felix didn't know about. He couldn't figure that one out. Why are they yelling that?
Right.
Like, beat my wife, right? He was oblivious to that. And, like, only a few people, I guess, like, were in the know what that chant was about. And Flyer fans, they're very creative when it comes to things like, you know, heckling, like, more than heckling. And they're dangerous, a lot of these fans. Like, you know, they're liquored up and they're, you know, they're looking for a fight, especially after they just saw Hextall get beat up. So now the Leafs lose the game, right? And the bus is waiting. And In this particular arena, and in most arenas now, the bus is underground. The public can't get to it, but it's got to drive up a ramp, right, out from under the stadium on, right, you know, into the parking area and then out. Mm-hmm. And so on this ramp, there's all these fans that are, like, lined up above the ramp over the railing, and they're yelling shit. They're throwing shit. And you've got to come out of the locker room. And then this little area there before you get on the bus where, you know, you could be, not attacked, but they can throw shit at and yell shit at you, right? From above, you know, from, I don't know, one story up, let's say. And so I happen to be walking out, and Potvin's near me, and I forget, like, you know, everyone was going, way to go, Felix, way to kick the shit out of Hextall, like, way to go. But we have to get on the bus and get out. It's Sunday night, everybody's going home. And so as we're walking out, so, I don't know, man, they're throwing shit, and this shoe, right, hits me in the arm, in the shoulder, right? Some stuff had run on the ground. And this shoe, it's like a fucking sneaker, hits me, like, in the shoulder. And it's like it didn't hurt.
Well, better than a battery, I was going to say.
And then I realized they're throwing stuff, right? And Felix is to my left, and the bus, like, the door to the bus is up here. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, they're aiming at Felix, and I'm in his path. I'm a human shield now for this guy. For Potvin, who's the hero for everyone. And everyone's like, oh shit, get in the bus, right? And so to see, you know, a few guys, like, you know, high step it into the bus because of the projectiles that are coming down. And again, Potvin sucks. Potvin, you beat your wife. And Felix, like, he's in front of me, he's going, beat my wife. And I'm saying, Felix, that has nothing to do with it. It's an old expression. It's a Denny Potvin.
Right.
Forget about it.
Different Potvin.
Anyway, everybody gets on the bus, and we get out of there, and fans are throwing stuff at the bus and yelling and screaming. And I seem to recall the bus. We couldn't quite get all the way up the ramp, and a couple people started, I want to say, pushing on the bus, like, but we're pretty close to, like, you know, the bus windows, and, you know, players are, they're not giving these fans the finger, but they're kind of looking at them going, yeah, we kicked your ass, like, you know, even though they lost the game, our goalie kicked the shit out of your goalie. So the whole bus ride was like, yeah, way to go, Felix. Like, way to go.
Hey, there's a very interesting comment on your YouTube channel from Adrian Stickland. And he says, Pop Van beat the crap out of a notorious goon in Junior A. He goes, you can't remember his name, but that must be the fight he's talking about.
That's the one fight that he had.
Wild. So he retires undefeated. He's 2-for-2.
Well, no. See, hang on a second. Okay. Here's the postscript to the story. Anyway, so now we're on the bus. I forget if it was on the bus or on the plane home or whatever. And again, the Leafs have just lost. They're not playing, but Pot Van was like the man, right? And so, way to go, Felix. Good for you, buddy. You know, everybody wanted to kill Ron Hextall, and Pot Van was the one who did it, you know? Because I remember saying to him, I said, you're like Sonny in The Godfather. You're like Michael in The Godfather.
Yeah. Right.
Like, of all the people in the family.
Right.
To take out the Tattaglias or whatever, you're like, right, of all the people, it's you. It's like the little guy, right? The quiet one, right? Right? That's what Felix was. He was like Michael Corleone, right? He wasn't, you know, like Domi, and he wasn't Kyprios, and he wasn't Baumgartner. He took him out. So he was just a hero. But so here's the, so anyway, you know, he was like, you know, I was like, wow, you killed him. And he says, yeah, see, I told you. He says, I told you, if I had a chance, I'm going to go after him. And so that was, you know, so he was undefeated. But then years later, he's playing for the LA Kings, right? And he gets into a fight with, not a fight with, but Andre Roy, who, again, a notorious shit disturber for Ottawa back 20 years ago. Right. He gets in his crease, right? Gets into his face and, like, pushes him or shoves him or throws a punch at him. And Felix goes wild. Felix throws a punch back at Roy. And attacks him, right? After getting punched in the creek. Attacks him. Goes wild. It takes like two officials to hold him back. And the goalie for Ottawa, who's at the other end, all right, is Yanni Herme. So he comes. He now leaves the crease. I mean, Potvin's in trouble already. He's leaving the crease. He's punching out Bois. The officials are trying to hold him back. He's going nuts. He's still got his mask on too and his gloves. He's going out of his mind, right? He just loses it. Here comes Yanni Herme, and he gets into a tangle, and him and Pot Van are hanging on to each other. They've got their masks. Now Pot Van's got his gloves off and is going to start to throw punches, and Herme can't get his glove off because it's Velcroed to his fucking hand. So in case there's a goalmouth scramble, it doesn't come flying off. Right. So he can't get this glove off to throw a punch. So he backs up with Pot Van towards the Ottawa bench. And while he's there, the Ottawa players are grabbing his glove and undoing the Velcro so that they can, and then pulling the glove off so that he can fight Pot Van. It was nuts. Anyway, they were so tired at the end. I think it was ended up being a draw, whatever, but that was like it for the fighting. And I saw him a couple years after that. I just remember saying to him, I said, you like retired undefeated? He goes, yeah. It was like funny. But here's the thing. And I don't know if this has ever happened before or since, but both goalies, Pot Van and Yanni Herme, were kicked out of the game, ejected, leaving the crease, whatever, you know,
sure,
game misconduct. And both backup goalies had to come into the game at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Jamie Storr for the Kings in relief of Pot Van and Patrick Lalime for Ottawa in relief of Yanni Herme.
Huh.
And there you go. Goalies fighting, that's hockey. How's that? That's it for Hebsy on Sports episode number 309. Wrap it up with a bow. Thanks to Toronto Mike for production and inspiration. Hit him up at Toronto Mike. Give his excellent podcast a listen. It's great. Thanks to all the Canadian soldiers who fought to keep this country what it is today. Many thanks for your service. We will never forget. And thanks to you for allowing us into your headspace. We're back with another exciting, I hope, episode next week. Until then, have a great weekend. So long for now.